Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Wonderful anointing here. God is moving by His Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And today, I get to talk about one of my favorite subjects, faith. I love to talk about faith. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Faith that works. You know, that kind of implies that there's faith that doesn't work. You know, what the church or what Christians tend to think of as faith many times is not faith at all. So, I tell you, faith works all the time. So we want to talk about what is faith and how to implement that into our lives. How to stand in faith for whatever it is that we are believing for from God's Word. Because when our faith links up with God's Word, it releases the anointing of God into our life for what we need, for what He has provided for us. So we're going to talk about faith that works. Faith is our connection to all that God has done for us through Christ Jesus. Everything that Jesus died for is available to us. It doesn't just fall on us. It's not like the apple that fell out of the tree. You know, we just happen to be standing there and all of a sudden, plop, there it is. We receive each of those promises, everything that God has provided for us in Christ Jesus, through faith. Faith is what connects the two things together. With our faith, evidenced by our actions and words of faith, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, why that's important, we secure the promises of God for our lives. Genuine faith, no matter how small, even mustard seed faith will change us and the world around us. So let's talk about for a minute about faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things hoped for." Now, we're going to kind of repeat some things several times today. First of all, faith is not hope. Notice there it says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for." Now, this is the way that it works. When you hear the Word of God, whether you read it, whether you hear it preached, however it comes to you, you see what the Word of God says, and then what happens is hope, an expectation is born, is germinated in your heart, is germinated in your mind, saying, "Wow, does the Word of God really say that? That Jesus became poor that we might be made rich? Does the Word of God really say that?" So yes, that's what it says. Well, then a hope is born. But that's not faith. A hope is born. There is something that has happened. Wow, that's something I can believe for. But see, that hope is not faith. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for. It's the assurance, the title deed. Faith grabs hold of what we are hoping for and says, "It is mine." Our faith is that title deed, like the title deed to your house. When you pay off the last payment of your mortgage and they send you the title deed, that house is now yours. Faith is like that title deed. It assures you that it is mine. Faith, in the King James, it says, now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. The same idea, the evidence. When you look at all the situation, faith takes that evidence and says, it is mine. Faith is the confident expectation without doubt in our heart. We're all familiar with Mark 11:23. Or are we? Mark 11:23. Yes, we're all familiar with it. We've read it many times, but are we really familiar with it? Do we really know it? Do we really know what it says and what it means for our lives? Let's look at it again. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain. Now remember, it starts off in verse 22 when he says, have faith in God. They had seen him do something. He had cursed the fig tree. And they saw within 24 hours that there was a demonstration that what Jesus had said to the fig tree had come about. It was withered from the roots up. And they said, Jesus, look at that. Look what happened. That's the fig tree you cursed yesterday. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Then he says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. See, a key element is not doubting in your heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he says. I mean, those are very definite statements. We look at it and we say, oh, that's great. But then a challenge comes into our life. A mountain comes into our life. And we look at that mountain, we say, man, that is a big mountain. And our voice seems very small compared to that big mountain. To say to that mountain with our little voice, be removed, can be quite a challenge. But notice what it says, and does not doubt in his heart. See, that's where the difference is. You look at the mountain and you say, that mountain, I'm going to have faith in God. That mountain has to go, and we believe it in our heart, in our core value system. But notice that it says, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass. And we have found in the past, as we've studied this verse, that the tense of the verb that is used there of saying means that it is something that is a continuous habit of life. Believe the things that we say on an ongoing basis. See, when we go to speak to the mountain, and we've never spoken to a mountain before, and we don't know the principles of speaking to a mountain, it's going to be really hard because it's not a habit of our life. We need to develop a habit of walking by faith. He doesn't doubt in his heart. He is believing the things that he says shall come to pass, then he shall have what he says. Now, Abraham faced a big mountain in his life. God appeared to him and said, Abraham, you are going to have a son. You are going to be the father of many nations, and it shall come from you and Sarah. Now, Sarah was barren. Not only was she past the age of childbearing, but she had never had a child. And Abraham was old himself. And he looked at those circumstances, Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Now, verse 18 of Romans chapter 4 is preceded by Genesis chapter 15. Where God came to Abraham and told him about this son that he was going to have. He showed him the stars, and he said, your descendants are going to be like the stars. He showed him the sand of the sea and said, your descendants are going to be like the sand of the sea. And it says, and Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. Now let's go to Romans 4:18. Who, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, which was God's word being spoken to him, so shall thy seed be. See, he heard what God said, and he believed God. Hope was born in him, but it went beyond hope. He now believed God. Let's go on. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He had a big mountain. And he looked at that mountain and he says, the mountain doesn't matter. What God said is what matters. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. In other words, he believed in his heart, right? But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So even though for those 25 years he wasn't seeing the manifestation of his prayers, he was believing God. You know, even when he did that thing with Hagar and Ishmael, you know, he wasn't doubting God. He wasn't doubting what God had said. He was simply looking at the situation, saying, what can I do to help? What do I need to do? But he wasn't doubting God through that situation. So even though a lot of people say, well, see, he doubted God and he went tried to do it himself. No, he wasn't doubting God. He knew what God had said, and he believed that his descendants would be the sand of the sea and like the stars in the sky. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed God. He heard what God's words said to him, and he had faith on it, and he walked by it. And we know that he received the promise. We've seen this verse many times, but I want to look at it again. Hebrews 6:12 in the Amplified. The definition of faith. This is a wonderful definition of faith. By their leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. That is a great definition of faith, of being able to put the full weight of your being. Now, when it comes to faith, one of the challenges with walking by faith is the severity or the degree of severity of the thing that you're believing for. As Pastor said, when you test things, one of the things that you do in testing is you look at the extremes, and that helps you to get a vision or an understanding of something. So one of the extremes to look at in terms of testing faith is when the thing you're believing for, if it doesn't happen, it takes you to an end. In other words, like when you're facing death, when you're facing financial ruin, and you look at those situations and you say, how does faith work in those situations? See, when you're looking death in the face, you get to the point where you just have nothing else to do but to put the full weight of your being on God, the full weight of your personality on God. And I know when I have done that, when I have looked death in the face and realized that it's either God or nothing, I tell you, that is a place where you begin to understand what faith is. Well, we'll talk some more about that in a few minutes. The leaning of your entire personality on God. Now, faith is measured in quality, not quantity. We tend to think if there's this big, huge mountain staring us in the face, mountain of some challenge, that we have to have faith that is as big as the mountain in order to overcome it. But that's not the case. Matter of fact, Jesus said it like this in Matthew 17, verse 20. And Jesus said to them, they were asking, why were we not able to cast this demon out of this boy? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain. Whoa, is he talking about the same mountain? No, this must be a little mountain, right? A mustard seed-sized mountain to go with the mustard seed-sized faith, right? Just a little mountain. No, that's not what he's talking about. See, he's saying it only takes the faith the size of a mustard seed. And you've probably seen, you know, sometimes at churches and stuff, they may give out a little thing full of little mustard seeds, right? If you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed, and it has to go. See, it's not the quantity of faith. It's not the bigness of faith. It's the quality of faith. Now, I've said this in the past. I'm going to say it again. See, faith is faith. When you believe what God's word says, and you put the full weight of your being on what God's word says, that little bit of faith will move a tremendous mountain. Because it's not you that is moving the mountain. Your faith connects with the word of God, which releases the power of God to remove the mountain. It's the quality of faith. And one of the things I want to try to get across to you today is what that faith is like. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and I said, tell me something. I want to ask you a question. What does faith feel like? And the person looked at me and said, and I mean, it was amazing because they could answer me. Because see, when you know and you've stood in faith and you've seen the result of standing in faith, you know what it feels like. Faith has a feel to it. It's like putting your total confidence in that. There is just a feel to faith. And I'm wanting to try to convey that today. Now, one of the things that's tough about it is that really faith is not something that's taught, although here we are teaching about it, right? We have lots of different teachings about faith. Faith is really tough to teach about because faith is not really taught. Faith is caught. When you believe God and you put the full weight of your being on Him, you know that you know that you know that God's word is true. See, when I read that scripture, and you've heard my testimony, when I read that scripture in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that says it is impossible for God to lie. And I had been studying about that I had been healed by the stripes of Jesus and that it was impossible for God to lie. Man, I knew right then, that's it. I knew that I have been healed. See, I wasn't looking at I'm going to be healed. I knew that I was healed. And it was just a matter of time. Well, in my case, it was another, I don't know, 6 or 7 months from that point. It was another 6 or 7 months before I saw the full manifestation. But I knew that I knew that I knew. I was standing like Abraham, fully persuaded. Now, the scripture talks about, matter of fact, Jesus mentions it a couple of times, about people that had great faith and had little faith. Now, he wasn't trying to say that in order to accomplish certain things, you had to have greater faith than other things. He was simply showing us the person that was standing fully in faith and the person that was having a lot of doubt, like the disciples that we see right here. The centurion that came to Jesus on behalf of his servant who was paralyzed and tormented. And Jesus said, fine, we'll go to him. And he said, no, you don't have to. Just say the word and he will be healed. And then he did the thing about, you know, I'm a man of authority and those under my direction do this and they do that. And then Jesus marveled. It said Jesus marveled. Isn't that amazing? You wouldn't think that he would do that. But Jesus marveled and he says, not even in Israel, in other words, the covenant people of God, not even in Israel have I seen such great faith. Now, the guy didn't have, you know, mountain-sized faith. He just simply believed what Jesus would do. He just believed. He knew it. And because he knew it, Jesus said he had great faith. Now, the disciples, when they were in the boat, remember when they were in the boat and Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat and all of a sudden this huge storm comes up and they're being tossed around and waves are coming over and they got fearful. Now, notice, fearful, faithless, okay? There's kind of a interaction there between those things. They got in fear and they came to Jesus and woke him up and said, don't you care that we're about to perish? It's like, that's interesting. Why would they wake him? You know, they were the fishermen, right? Anyway, so Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. And then he spoke to the wind and to the sea, and there was a great calm. The great storm became the great calm. They were faithless. He had faith. He spoke to the mountain. He knew that what he said would come to pass. Let's talk a little bit now about what faith is and what faith is not. This is really important. Faith is not hoping or wishing. Here we need to draw a contrast between what is faith and what is not faith in a real sense. Because a lot of people call faith simply something they've heard from the Word of God. They know that God says that we have been healed, that there is healing for us. They know what the Word says, and they say, well, okay, then God's going to heal me. And usually that's the kind of statement. See, God's going to heal me. They are hoping, they're wishing, they're expecting maybe that God is going to heal them, but that's all they do. There is no real confidence that God is going to heal them. They're just hoping, they're wishing. And many times what that does is result in an attitude of they're just waiting for God to move. God said that he would heal me, so I'm just going to sit here and wait until God moves, and then I'll be healed. See, that is a totally wrong attitude about faith. Jesus has already provided the healing for us. Faith is grabbing on to what the Word of God says, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, is grabbing on to what the Word of God says, and know that it is now. Faith is now. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And then you apply your patience to that, not waiting for God to move, because God has already moved. God's already done it. We simply grab hold of it, and we stand in confident expectation that we will see it. See, faith is not waiting for God to move. Faith and patience is not hoping and waiting, just what I'm talking about here. Hebrews 6:12, do not be slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Then he goes on talking about Abraham that we're talking about. Because Abraham Remember, he believed God, but he had to wait 25 years. He patiently waited. Now, patiently doesn't mean that you do nothing. You know, we usually tend to think of patient as when you're standing in line at the grocery store and the person in front of you, that there's no price on an item. And so some clerk had to run, you know, now we're in a super Walmart, right? And they had to run from one end of the store to the other end of the store to get a price. And you have to just kind of patiently wait until they get back and they get that person taken care of. That's not what we're talking about here. Patiently waiting means that we are actively standing in faith. See, faith is not sitting around and waiting for something. Faith is moving on what God's word says. The action of faith will look like something. It will be taking steps of faith. It will be speaking words of faith. It will be doing something. Because what we're wanting to do is build the anointing in our lives. It's doing those secondary steps. It's reading the Word of God. It's reading the Word of God about healing. It's speaking God's Word over yourself, doing affirmations. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My stomach has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's an active participation in it because we believe that we have been healed. We believe that we have what we say. We're not doubting in our heart. It's not waiting. See, Kenneth Hagin, who's known as the father of faith, when God was teaching him this, when he was on his bed of infirmity or whatever for 16, 17 months, something like that. I think it was 16 months and he was 17. I think that's what it is. Anyway, God had been teaching him and showing him that verse in Mark 11, 23 and 24, showing him those verses. And he was pondering them and he was thinking about them. And he was laying there waiting until he was healed before he did something. And then one day, all of a sudden it dawned on him, wait a second. The word says, I believe what I say. And the word says, you know, he's not down in his heart. And the word says that whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And so he said, wait a second. I have already been healed. What am I doing here lying in this bed? God has already healed me. And then by faith, he started getting up. Now, it wasn't necessarily easy. It wasn't like he just jumped out of bed and there he was. He grabbed hold of that bedpost. He pulled himself up. He had strength. He walked down the stairs to his family having breakfast. They just about all went out because here, this boy that they thought was on his deathbed all of a sudden was walking. And he didn't just, oh, this is great. No, he said, wait a second, I have been healed. So what would I be doing since I am healed? What should I be doing? Going to school. So he went back to school. The teachers came to the principal and said, you got to talk to him. Something is wrong. This kid is like a skeleton. He's going to keel over any minute. We don't want him in our classroom. And so the principal tried to give him some options. You know, why don't you just stay home and take care of yourself? But he knew, because his step of faith was, I have been healed and I have to go to school every day. And he did. He went to school every day. It wasn't too long before it was summer. And he said, what would I be doing as a healed person? He said, well, I need to get a job. So the only job he could find was at a nursery where they had been, not a nursery, but a grower. And what they did is they planted trees. They let them grow for a couple of years. And then his job, along with a crew, was to pull out these young trees and put them in pots so that they could be sold to people. And so his job was to help pull out these trees. And here he is, very, very thin, very skinny. Looks like he has no strength. And the guys on the crew were, you know, says, why do we have this skinny runt on our team here? You know, this isn't going to work. And he said, no, you know what? God is the strength of my life. But he didn't just stand there waiting until he felt strong. He said, God is the strength of my life. Give me that tree. And he grabs the tree. And as he, by faith, knowing what God has done, as he grabs that tree, he feels the strength of God pour into his body, and he can work all day long pulling trees out. There was one young man there in that on his crew that was like a 250-pound big guy, and he says, oh, I'm going to outlast all of you. And he said, you ain't going to outlast me. He says, you'll fall out before I do. And one day, apparently, it was really hot that summer, and one day they're out there pulling trees, and finally the 250-pound guy said, I'm done. I can't pull another tree. And he went and sat down. And Kenneth Hagin, sitting there still pulling trees out, because he was standing in faith. He believed God and he acted on it. He spoke it and he acted on it. Faith is now. It's in the present. And of course, Hebrews 11:1 says, now. Faith is. Faith is not in the future. Faith is not saying, I'm going to be healed. This is going to happen. Faith is, it has happened now. And I am expecting to see the manifestation. It's not even, I am hoping to see the manifestation. It's not even, I'm sure someday the manifestation will come. Every day that we're walking by faith, we should expect that day, that moment, the manifestation. And that's sometimes what makes it tough, because we don't see that happening, and it goes on for days. The challenges go on for months. The challenges sometimes go on for years. And we can sometimes get into a bad habit of learning to accommodate those challenges, instead of continuing to fight the good fight of faith. Because every day when those challenges are presenting themselves, whether it be pain or whether it be, you know, some other disease type thing or whatever it might be that's going on in your body, or it could be finances, we don't accommodate. We continue to fight. See, the kingdom of God is taken by force. It's the great, wonderful prize that is sought after with intense exertion and ardent zeal, and attitude and action, attitude, action. And then when we combine it with our words, we are taking hold of it. And every day we need to be grabbing hold of what God's word says and believing that today will be the day of manifestation. See, these four people, three of them in particular, of these four people that were standing in faith, believing for these tumors to go. See, they have been doing that for some time, standing in faith. And their faith, connecting with the anointing of God, brought about the manifestation. So even though it may look like it's taking a long time, faith is always now. Believe that you receive when you pray. We've already talked about faith coming from the heart. We've already talked about faith being active, not passive. We're not waiting for God to move. We're not waiting to see the manifestation. Our patience is simply standing day by day in faith, expecting today the manifestation. But over time, every day we keep expecting, and over time it happens. When Jesus gave us that prayer in Mark 11:24, It says, you shall have them. Notice there's no time there. Every day, every moment, we stand in faith expecting. But we know that there may be a time involved. But it doesn't matter. We expect it now. That's what faith is. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. It's done. Let's go down to look at some key elements of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, this is used in faith circles about how to grow your faith. Notice it doesn't say faith grows by hearing and hearing the Word of God. It says faith comes by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. It is what I talked about earlier. The Word of God brings forth hope. And hope then becomes what we've talked about around here as the blueprint for our faith. We believe what God's Word says, and then we plant our faith on it. So faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So it's important for us to keep in the Word of God. We have got to get the Word of God into our hearts, and that comes through our actions and our words. Faith is seen by words and actions, and often at great risk. James 2:17 says, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Faith will have evidence of words and actions. If you're saying, I'm believing God for something, but you continually act and speak contrary to that, you're not having faith. You're hoping, you're wishing, but you're not having faith. Because faith doesn't act like that. Faith says it is done, and you act and you speak like it. The centurion we already talked about. See, he had words and he had actions. He came to Jesus and he had words of faith. Jairus, when he came to Jesus, he said this, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands upon her that she may be healed, and she shall live. Listen to his words of faith. And then later on, when the people from his house came to him and said, don't bother the master anymore, your child has died. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, do not fear. Only believe, not another word came out of Jairus' mouth. He continued to believe what he said, and she shall live. And she shall live. The woman with the issue of blood, she had actions and she had words. She was one that came at great risk. I mean, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, was right there next to Jesus. And here this woman with the issue of blood, it was not right for her to be out. It was illegal for her. She could have been stoned because of what God's word said and their understanding of it at that time, that she had an issue of blood, wasn't supposed to be out among people, especially in a crowd like that. So she took actions of faith. But she also had words of faith because she said, if I can just but touch. So she was saying over and over and over. The Amplified says she kept saying. She kept saying. That's the verb form of the saying there, was active. It was present tense. Over and over saying, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment. And the woman of Cana who came to Jesus and was kind of rebuffed a couple of times. Jesus wouldn't answer her. She wanted her daughter to be healed. He wouldn't answer her. And then finally, when he did answer her, he called her a dog. And so, like I've said before, she was a dog. She was a bulldog. And she was holding on to what she believed. And see, that was her faith. She wouldn't let go. She knew that Jesus could heal her daughter, and she wouldn't let go. No matter what he said, she wouldn't let go. And he called her having great faith. She had faith that persisted. Blind Bartimaeus was another one. What he did, you know, it's really kind of interesting. Unless you really read it, you don't catch it. Because it says there that when, well, first of all, he heard that Jesus was coming by and he started crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people were trying to shush him. "Be quiet, you're disturbing us." So he shouted all the more, right? And then Jesus said, "Bring him to me." And then when they told Bartimaeus, "The master's calling you," there's a little phrase there. It says, he threw off his cloak and went to Jesus. And it's like, well, why would he do that? You know, I mean, you'd think, you know, he had a cloak on for a reason. Maybe he was cold or something, you know. But no, what he was doing was what he had on, that cloak, that garment that he had on, was actually his ability to be able to beg. Because as a beggar, he had to wear a garment that authorized him by the state, so to speak, that he could beg. And so here, when Jesus called him, he said, "I ain't going to need this anymore." In other words, he was willing to let go of his financial well-being because he expected to get healed. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus said, "Be it unto you according to your faith." And of course, we always walk by faith, not by sight, just like Abraham. He didn't consider his own body or the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he kept walking. We walk by faith, not by sight. Mark 11:24, the process of walking by faith. There are three conditions that are listed here. The scripture says, "Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." First, there was a desire. There has to be a desire, a condition, an intense burning desire for what it is you want. And then you have to pray to God in the name of Jesus. Out loud, you pray for what you want. And then the third one, which is the most important, believe that you receive when you pray. And that's evidenced in words and actions. Believe that you receive what you prayed for. That it's been done. See, that's where faith makes a difference. It's not now hoping and wishing, "Well, I prayed, hopefully God will answer it now." No, it is, He has answered it. That should automatically generate praise. It should automatically generate words and actions, believing it, because we believe that we have received when we prayed. And then the promise, letter D there, "and you shall." Doesn't say you might, you shall have them. Acting by faith on the word builds faith in your heart. And here it's talking about from that scripture in Hebrews 6:18-19 about by these two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. And those two things are God's oath and God's promise. He's talking here specifically made to Abraham. But God's word to us that we are believing for, God's word to us, it is impossible for him to lie. And then it goes on in verse 19, which hope, which confident expectation, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul. Because when we see the word of God come about in our life, when we see it happen, then it builds an anchor. And it's like, you know what? I know I can trust God in this. When we see bills paid, when we see healing come, it builds a confidence. It becomes a anchor to our soul. And it gets it into our heart. Because remember, it's he who doesn't doubt in his heart. True faith comes from our heart. We call it around here heart faith. Not mental assent, not just believing it in our mind, but it gets into our heart. And then in our heart, we can truly stand on it and know that we will have the things that we're believing for. And of course, faith is essential to being a conqueror in this life. For what's 1 John 5:4? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Every challenge that comes into our life, find what the Word of God says about it. Find what the Word says about it. And then pray it according to Mark 11:24. And then speak and act as though it's done. Every challenge, no matter what it is, every mountain, no matter what size. Remember, it's only a mustard seed of faith. All you have to do is believe God. You just have to believe what God said. It is impossible for God to lie. Believe what God has said. Stand on it, and you'll see it come to pass. And it is that kind of faith that will cause us to be conquerors, more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Amen. And Hebrews 11:6 says that, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Everything that we receive from God comes through our faith. Our faith, connecting with the Word of God, again, releases the power and the anointing of God into our life for what He has for us. Amen. Walk by faith. Live by faith. And again, it is that attitude, that understanding, being fully persuaded that what God said is true. And we stand on it with the full weight of our being in every area of our life. Amen.